recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you the executive producer.
With your host, Dimitri Ravenos. And it starts now.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me for the first ever episode of the Barrett Sports Media Producers Podcast. I'm going to treat this show the way the CIA did LSD back in the 50s and 60s. We're going to play around with the formula each week a little bit. We are going to inject it right into your veins, and we're going to see how it affects your brain, and just maybe we'll get one of you to kill a foreign dictator. This week, our guest is Brian Monzo. He is the executive producer of Mike Francesa's show at WFAN in New York. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Brian in just a second, but first I do want to talk to you about what this show is going to be. Each week I'm going to talk to a producer of note in the world of sports radio. And why do I say a producer of note instead of a high-profile producer? Well, look, we're going to have plenty of high-profile producers, right? Monzo is a perfect case. He produces the most famous local sports radio show in America, bar none. We're going to talk to guys that produce for Dan Patrick, guys that produce for Dan Le Batard. We're going to talk to people that do produce the biggest of the big shows, but also I'm going to talk to people that are friends of mine in smaller markets as well, because there is no single job of a sports radio producer. The job description is you make the show sound as great as it possibly can. Well, for some producers, that means your priority is being the creative force of the show. For some producers, that means your priority is guest booking. Maybe it means that you might be sitting behind a radio board, but your job is no different from a psychologist each day. So it's going to be interesting to see from market to market, from show to show, the way different companies, different hosts, different producers prioritize the duties of the man behind the glass and behind the board. And the women too, I should say, because I don't want to leave out Jessamyn McIntyre from ESPN 710 in Seattle, who you'll hear from on this show in a couple of weeks. As for Brian Monzo, like I said, he is Francesa's producer. If you are talking about producing in local sports radio, there is probably not a more high-profile position you can have. And Monzo sort of has the demeanor that public perception might say you have to have in order to deal with Mike Francesa, but you'll hear Brian say, that's not really the case. They have a great relationship, but at the same time, having a great relationship does not mean that Monzo is any more in tune with the inner workings of Francesa's brain than we might be. You'll hear in this episode, he found out Francesa was coming out of retirement the same way we all did. So that I think is a really fun thing to listen for. One thing I will tell you, this episode was recorded on Friday, September 6th. So a couple of things to keep in mind. One, you might hear some thunder as a hurricane was making its way through North Carolina, where I lived during that time. And two, this was recorded before Chris Carlin was let go by WFAN, and Andrew Marchand wrote the article suggesting that Mike Francesa played a role in that. Had that article already come out, I certainly would have asked Brian about that a little bit, but since that hadn't happened yet, that's not going to be covered in here. I will also tell you one thing we do cover that I think a lot of you will enjoy is Francesa and his staff's relationship with the Funhouse Twitter account at Back After This. So anyway, sit back, relax, enjoy this conversation with Brian Monzo, and I will come back on the other side and feed you some sort of nugget of wisdom, the exclamation point on this first episode of the BSM Producers Podcast. Whenever I hear people or read about people describing you, the term laid back comes up a lot. How do you stay laid back in such a high pressure, high profile environment? I mean, you could make the argument that you are the most famous local sports producer in the country.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, I think it's kind of just my mentality in life, you know, not so much just my job. You know, I'm not like a hippie or anything like that, but, you know, it's just I'm relatively calm. I kind of learned this from Eddie Scazzeri, to be honest with you, when I first started back in 04, because he's just like a chilled dude. And he was like one of my first supervisors, you know, outside of like program director and whatnot. He was kind of like the head of the newsroom and handled scheduling and all that stuff. And when I was a part-timer, we got to work a lot together. And he's got a very calming sense to them. And it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's live radio. And, you know, I've dealt with people who panic, you know, when something goes awry, whether it be technical or whatever. And that situation, you know, that just makes it worse, right? So, you know, you just got to kind of keep an even keel. I mean, look, there are times where you get frustrated or whatever, but, you know, we're out there just to entertain the audience. And what I like to say a lot is, you know, if something goes wrong technically, right, you can usually, whether it's you or your board op or whomever you're working with, can resolve the problem internally, and nobody listening would even know there was an issue.
Right.
You know, so that's what I've noticed. Like, something goes awry and be like, well, if you were listening, you had no idea that even happened.
Yeah.
So as long as you can kind of keep it to that. And look, there have been technical disasters where if you're listening, you may have noticed. And if you're working at the station listening, you may have left. But, you know, it's my mentality. It's kind of how I am. I have a big family. I have 6 kids. I have a 7th on the way. I got to be calm at home because, you know, if you lose your mind there, you're going to lose your mind at work. So it's just kind of how I am. You know, it's not like I don't carry that to work and I'm purposely like that. It's just how I am as a person. You know, I'm just very chill. I listen to 90s rock. I watch horse racing and I produce sports talk. That's kind of, you know, what it is.
with you trying to stay so level and being a naturally kind of chill guy, how does that play out working with Mike? I mean, he gets animated on air behind the scenes. Is it a lot of he just sort of trusts you guys to take care of whatever problems there are? Or are there times where you're telling him, calm down, we can take care of this?
No, I mean, we don't have to say that to him, you know. And a lot of times if there's an issue, like we don't tell him, but we can handle it in such a way that he wouldn't even notice, I suppose.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because a lot of things that he wouldn't even consider being an issue. If there's like a commercial issue with, you know, with the traffic department or something like that, you know, that's not, you know, for him to worry about. So that's something we can handle. But, you know, I think with Mike, and I, you know, I'm not just going to speak about him like right the second, like it kind of goes with any host, I guess, not just Mike, but, you know, you're not there to make the situation worse. You know, you're there to kind of, you know, be a professional and ensure the host that you're dealing with or the program director that I got this, it's all good. You know, don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to make the situation worse. So with Mike, and he's just looking for people at this point of his career, he's established, you know, he's already one of the top guys, if not the top guy in the business, that he doesn't need somebody that's going to be like a nuisance to him. He just needs somebody that, you know, is going to handle whatever situation we're in, whether we're in a, you know, we need a guest or whether there is a technical issue, if we're at a remote broadcast and there's a problem or whatever, we just need to get it done and not make the situation worse. And myself and Chris McMonagle, who is my, you know, a co-producer, you know, we're both very good at that. And I think Mike's been in situations in the past where people he's dealt with were a little more high strung, and that's added stress to him. And I think that's what we bring to him, is that any stress he has in his life, it's not caused by myself and Chris or the radio show.
Yeah. With how long, I mean, it's not only that Mike has been in sports radio for a long time. He was one of the original guys in sports radio and has been figuring out what works for him and what content he can do his best work with for a long time. So how much of your role is actually bringing him topics and content ideas, and how much of it is him saying, here is my vision, make it sound as good as it can?
I think at this point, you know, I don't have to be as hands-on with him as you have to be with other hosts. And I understand that. No, that doesn't mean, you know, we still give him, I still give him, and maybe this is a little more for myself than him at this point, but, you know, I give him a sheet every day of some things that he may not have seen. Just so he has it in front of him and thinks, you know, I have an opinion on that. Let me touch it. You know, let me get involved. But, you know, I think this helps working with local radio and not national radio, is that, you know, there's Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets. I mean, that's the primary what we're doing. You know, if there's a major national story, you know, whether it's controversial, like the Joe Paterno stuff years ago and whatnot, or just something as different as Antonio Brown and Mike Mayock, you know, potentially getting into a war of words. You know, we'll obviously touch on those things, and I'll have to give him any updated news or notes on that. But, you know, on a day like, you know, on a Monday in October, you know, you're coming in and it's going to be Giants and Jets. And, you know, now right now it's going to be Eli Manning and Daniel Jones and, you know, the Sam Darnold progression. So, you know, it's not like I wouldn't call it easy. You know, we still got to, you know, we still got to do our job. But, you know, sometimes it's obvious what we're going to handle. And, you know, it's honestly the tougher time is like February and March where, yeah, we get a little bit of buzz with the NCAA and, you know, we try to formulate stuff out of spring training. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, with the Knicks struggling like they have in the past and the Nets just not being, you know, they may be this year with some of the signings they've made with Durant and whatnot. And even though he's not going to play this year, but adding players. And, you know, I'm a Ranger fan. You know, I have kids named after Rangers, but unfortunately, you know, hockey doesn't carry here.
Right.
You know, we got to try and formulate some stuff then. And we try and we probably make more out of lesser stories at that time just because we have to. But it's kind of, you know, working local, especially in a big market with very popular teams, it's pretty obvious what we're going to talk about just about day in and day out. But, you know, if there's something I think you might find interesting, I'll certainly give it to them. Something I think, you know, one of the things Mike does and a lot of other hosts in the country do is they like to go on rants about things they have
right.
particular feelings about. So if there's something I think, just knowing him that, you know, he might think this is silly or whatever, I'll give him a story like that just to, you know, set him off a little bit, just to give us a little something. But, you know, it's I give him the sheet. We have stuff to talk about and we go through the show. But it's not, you know, it's not overly hands on where, all right, at this time we're going to do this. At this time we're going to do this. You know, the show kind of starts and we kind of go with the flow.
So in that period of time where we all thought that he was retired for good, not coming back, you were part of the initial launch of Carlin, Maggie and Bart. How different was that? Like, did you feel like you were prepared to go from a well-oiled machine like Mike Show to literally building something from the ground up?
Yeah, and it was different, you know, for myself and Chris. You know, we tried to incorporate, you know, we had to establish relationships with the host and kind of get the feel. You know, they were all new with working together at that time.
Yeah.
And obviously they developed a pretty good rapport and do very well. And, you know, it was cool to be, you know, at the beginning of that. But, no, that was a lot more different where you had to be more hands-on with topics and different guest ideas and sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different from what we do with Mike. And it was fun. It was fun different, you know, because it made the job a little more challenging and whatever. But no, it was different. But it wasn't different bad. It was different. Like, we just, you know, we had to do a good job. And I think we did. They've established themselves as you know, a show that people obviously listen to. And I'm happy to have been a part of that.
At the time, how many kids did you have when that transition was being made?
Oh, I think I had five, and my sixth was born in that April. I remember my sixth was born right, I think, the draft day that Saquon Barkley and Sam Darnold were drafted, because I remember I had to miss that day.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of like around the time that Mike started to make news that he was coming back, which people think I knew about, but I didn't. So that was kind of a really funky time for me where we're doing this show. The NFL draft is happening. The Giants have like the second pick. Oh, and Mike may come back. So, and I'm having a kid, by the way, right this time. So,
that's exactly what I was sort of getting at. Like, how easy was it to be chill at home and chill at work during that day?
Look, I'm lucky that my wife is, you know, really on top of things. So, like, the kids, I have a career, and people that are listening or have, you know, you or anybody. Like, our job takes up a lot of our time, and our job doesn't end when we go home. You know,
right.
We got to, you know, if you're not watching something, you got to keep your eye on what's going on. You got to be on Twitter now, and you got to check scores, and then you got to get up and, you know, look over stories. So that was obviously, I had to make time to watch the draft, but I, you know, at the same time, I had to be a dad and babysit and do all those good things. But, you know, we were able to manage, you know, we had all the guests on that we needed to have. The Giants and Jets made news, and the next week we had Mike coming back. So, you know, we were able to book A-Rod, Eli Manning, and everybody for that first show back.
Yeah. So how soon before everyone else knew did you know he was coming back?
I'm not lying to you, and this is a true story. I found out when there was an article on Newsday.
Oh, wow. Not even a text from Mike saying, hey.
You know what? Because it wasn't, you know, I don't think he was trying to, you know, overstep his boundaries maybe at the station. Like, you know, and he knew it. I was having a kid when we were talking. I told him and everything. So, I think he had his own thing going on. That's when I found out. I think it was that day, maybe the day after, where we got called into the boss's office, myself and Chris, and we were told the news. And, you know, and then it's been a year and 6 months later, and we're still going at it.
So during this time, and look, I mean, if this is an overly sensitive topic, just say so. But how do you guys deal with the Funhouse Twitter account that is constantly poking fun at the show?
Honestly, I've kind of forgotten it exists. You know, we've been blocked, so and vice versa. So if it's still around, that's cool. But you know, that's the difference between now and years ago. People are always, you know, always listening, and you know, it just goes to show how powerful the show is. Like I actually said this on Twitter yesterday. I've never seen somebody. Anybody, I mean, I don't know, maybe the president, but like, you know, I've never seen somebody where people care, go after, love, hate, anything that Mike does day in and day out, whether it's, you know, going on a pizza thing with Barstool or right. You know, whether it's, you know, a rant on the Giants. Like, I've never seen somebody who just carries the torch like that. And it's, you know, so I think sometimes it even, you know, I won't speak for him, but I think sometimes he even scratches his head why people care so much. So, you know, I'm not surprised there's an account like that. It doesn't affect me, you know, whatsoever. We just come in and do the show and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Do you think that the critical focus is a matter of a new generation of people listening, or just that people never had the kind of access that social media gives them now?
I think it's just people haven't had the access.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and, you know, it's just, I'm not even sure how to answer that. People just, you know, there are people that love to hate no matter what.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you can't please everybody. And, you know, if you're getting attention, good or bad, you're obviously, you know, moving the needle somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm going to wrap the show up with the same two questions I ask everybody. First, what do you want to do next?
You know, I get asked that a lot. You know, I'm not going to say I've peaked, but I'm not sure as a producer, you know, if there's a show that I can go and produce that will ever be bigger than this.
Right. I think that's fair.
At least in sports talk. So, you know, the transition for me, I think, would be, you know, I'm not an on-air person. I've done shows. I do a podcast. I like talking about horse racing and wrestling and all those things. You know, because anybody could talk baseball and football. You don't need to hear me talk about it. But I'm not going to call myself somebody who has ambition to be on the air. So I would think stepping into a programming role, whether it be a PD. But honestly, man, I like producing shows, man. I like being in the control room and, you know, when a big story breaks, providing, you know, insight and information and trying to get that scoop. That I still get a thrill out of that. There's nothing like when a big story breaks and you're still on the air. Like I was waiting for Antonio Brown, a press conference to say that he was either cut or Mayock got cut, because I wanted to make sure we were on the air for that. So I still get a kick out of that and a thrill out of that. You know, I'm only 36. You know, I'm not an old man yet, though I feel old sometimes. I would think a role in programming would be something I would be into next, for sure.
Yeah. And then what is the one thing you wish either your boss or your host knew or understood better about your job?
It's you mean my job or me personally?
You know, your job. Let's say the way you do your job, maybe.
That's a tough question, man. I wish I had a little more time to think about that one. you know, I'm not one of these people who like needs to like tell you how much work goes into what I'm doing. Like, I think they know. We used to have meetings back in the day with our bosses, kind of like an annual review, and I'd list like a couple things that I wish I would do better. You know, like, you know, watch more Dan, you know, all the basic nonsense. But, you know, I think they know how much time all the producers here put into their job, especially in New York. Like, it's nonstop. You know, I think this is a little offbeat here, but, you know, there was a time here years ago when I was, like, the hockey guy. And I don't think anybody else around here thought I liked anything other than hockey. You know, even though I was like a big baseball and football fan, like right. they looked at me as a hockey guy. Like, how can you have an opinion on baseball? You're the hockey guy. And, you know, to the point where, like, if there was a hockey story and I didn't, like, provide, like, the best guess, like, it was like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
You're the hockey guy. So I think that I had a little bit of an issue with at one point where I was only considered the hockey guy, and I think that's changed. So I guess that's a little bit of a weird one, but, you know, that would be my answer. At least a year ago, that would have been my answer.
That's funny. That reminds me of one of my favorite This Is SportsCenter commercials where everybody is coming up and shadow boxing Charlie Steiner because he was their boxing guy.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Oh, I could do another 20 minutes. So.
Well, I think that would cut into your horse racing show, right?
That's a good point.
I forgot to mention that in the beginning segment, that Brian Monzo was literally walking in to record his horse racing show when I dialed him up that Friday to record this interview. So reach out to him on social media, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, and just thank him for being a part of the first Barrett Sports Media Producers podcast. If you got something out of this, Lord knows I've thanked him like 10,000 times at this point. So I told you I'm going to wrap up each show each week with a different thought about this particular role in the industry, because I've hosted, I've produced, I've seen this role from both sides of the glass. I've seen it from that point of view. And one lesson I wish I had learned when I was a producer is something that I want to pass on to young guys right now. It is perfectly okay. In fact, I encourage you to have aspirations in this industry. Almost nobody gets into sports radio thinking that producer is the ceiling for them, right? Everybody has the idea that they want to host or maybe program. And it's okay to have that. I think aspirations are what keep you moving forward and learning more and improving in your current role. But don't make the mistake of setting your sights on the host you're currently working with. Don't make the mistake of getting trapped in, I know I can do better than this guy. Why are we in these seats? Why am I not in his seat? Because your job every day when you get to the building is to make the show you're producing sound the best you possibly can. And logic tells you if you feel some sort of one-sided petty rivalry with your host, well, that's going to get in your way. You're never going to be thinking about making the show sound the best you can. You're going to be thinking about how you can put yourself over. And if you're doing that, if you're only thinking about putting yourself over and not living up to the job you were hired for, you've inadvertently put a ceiling on yourself. So not only does it hurt you professionally, it hurts you personally, because there's no way you can keep a relationship with that dude if you're constantly thinking that you deserve what he has. And if you can't keep a relationship with him, this comes from personal experience. If you can't keep a relationship with him, you can't keep that job. You just can't. Like, there's going to be nothing about the job that you find satisfying anymore, and you're going to burn out before you even get to your ultimate goal. So keep that in mind as you go into the booth each day if you have higher aspirations than just being the producer on a show. We will be back next week. From now on, this show is going to drop on Wednesdays, and we're going to do that right up until the week before Christmas. So plenty of episodes to come, 13, in fact, in this first season of the BSN Producers Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Dimitri, follow him on Twitter at Dimitri Ravenos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.